Morning is from the pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 19. Now, both readings today are kind of long, so if you want to follow along to make it easier, please do. It's page 210 in your Bible. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will can be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as you, man of God, shun all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. And our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Oh, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides, all this between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Here ends the reading of the word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today hungry and thirsty for your word. Please be with each of us today. Guide my words so that they bring glory to you, and let all who hear my words understand and be fulfilled. Amen. I am sure you have heard misquoted the verse from our 1 Timothy text today. People will usually say money is the root of all evil. But the actual verse, if you look back at verse 10, is the love of money is a root of all evil. And that is so true. Both of our texts this morning warn us against placing money and wealth, or earthly treasures, above God and humans, heavenly treasures. Our reading from 1 Timothy is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy. This letter is referred to as a pastoral letter because it's concerned with the work of the pastor. It's about caring for the community of faith. Our gospel reading from Luke is a continuation of Jesus' teaching his disciples and warning the Pharisees about what is important to God. The gospel reading is tough. Some of the commentaries I read refer to it as a lesson that pastors don't want to deal with. Is it stewardship? Is it a hand slap? I don't think so. I believe it's a reminder of who we belong to and to always keep our eyes on God and neighbor. It's a lesson on not judging a book by its cover. I really appreciate the way Luke paints the scene of our reading. The rich man is given a glowing and glorious description. His clothing is rich in cloth and color. He's wearing purple, a royal color, but he has no name. He could be any one of us. On the other hand, Lazarus has a name, but we have no description of him, except that he's a beggar covered with sores that dogs are licking. Someone placed Lazarus at the gate, maybe daily, like the people that go to the pool of Siloam, or possibly he lived there. We don't know from our text. I said earlier that Jesus was warning the Pharisees. It was believed at this time that if you were sick or if you were poor, you had sinned against God. It was a punishment that you had. And the Pharisees believed that they should not interfere with what God was doing. That God was working in the afflicted person's life and they should not, don't get involved. So the rich man in our story today was probably acting within what was expected by the law. But Jesus is saying to all of us that this isn't what God expects us to do. God expects us to care for creation. God places humans above wealth and possessions. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, we read stories of individuals that God considers worthy. God considers them valuable. God considers them blessed. Because I didn't take any classes this summer, I spent the summer reading English historical fiction. It was expected in early English history that the royals would leave food for their tenants to eat. The poor and those that served the royals would wait until the royals were finished feasting, and then they would eat the leftovers. But our rich man wasn't even leaving crumbs for Lazarus. I think we have a perfect example of how the rich man treated Lazarus by the way he spoke to Father Abraham from Hades. He didn't have any remorse. He was demanding that Father Abraham send Lazarus to wet his tongue, to give him something, and to go talk to his brothers. Look at verse 24. Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony. This is horrible. Even in death, he's still treating Lazarus like he's below him, right? So what's the point of holding your coin so tightly? I always tell people that my hand is open. Yes, things can easily be taken from me, but just as often, good things come in. It's amazing. All right, here's the stewardship piece. No matter how much I give away, it always comes back. It's crazy. And I learned it from my parents and from my mother-in-law. Later on your computer, do a Google search of how the wealthy give back. You know, the number one article is the top 25 billionaires have given away over $170 billion in their lifetime. This is only an estimate because some of them do not make it totally public what they're giving away. And the article makes a point of saying that these people are wealthier than ever. Giving away their wealth, $170 billion, it's not a number I even like comprehend. It didn't place them at anybody's gate begging for food. Our house is a Yankees baseball house. Yankees is a baseball team. For those that don't know, like we're not like Northerners, we're New York Yankees. The Yankees organization is a very philanthropic organization, and most of their players live the Yankee mission and have started foundations to give back. It's a beautiful thing. Anthony Rizzo, he's the first baseman. He's a cancer survivor, and he started a foundation to raise money to fight childhood cancer. Former pitcher CeCe Sabathia, he works in the inner city with education and sports. The list goes on and on. It's so extensive of how celebrities and wealthy people and athletes give back. This week, I had to give the morning reflection at the manager's meeting at the hospital. And I had so many people afterward come back and tell me that they were really touched by it. This is what I told them. I was visiting a patient, and I love having them tell their life story. You know, tell me about a trip you took. Tell me about what you did. Tell me about your family, whatever. And this woman wanted to tell me about a trip she took. And it wasn't to a poor country. It was, you know, a mid-row, midline socioeconomic, you know, and they needed something quick to eat before they caught the next tour, so they quick ran into McDonald's. You go to a foreign country, you eat McDonald's. So they're in there, they get their food, they're finished, they throw the wrappers in the garbage, and suddenly all these poor people come out to grab the wrappers to find the crumbs, the scraps, whatever they didn't eat. Now you pulled the pickle off and you left it in the wrapper, they're eating it. And she was just shocked that this country, these people were so poor that they were waiting for people to throw food in the garbage can. So then she finishes telling me that story. I go downstairs to the emergency room to visit somebody. And I know that this man passed several hospitals to get to St. Peter's. And I said to him, can you tell me why you would drive past these other places? And he goes, because St. Peter's has charity care. You're going to take care of me even though I am unemployed and I am poor and I have nothing. And I'm telling the managers this at the managers meeting because, of course, the St. Peter's mission is to take care of everyone. And we do that. And this man was moved and the managers, and it was just beautiful. We take care of people that need to be taken care of, and we don't let the dogs lick their wounds. It's our responsibility as individuals to make sure we care for those who don't have. But more important than the money is how we treat those placed in our world. Many will remember Bob Bradsell. He was a member here of the congregation. Bob lived his mission. Just one story that he told me. He was in Penn Central in Manhattan, and someone asked him for money for food. Well, Bob's a busy man, and he could have pushed past the guy. He could have thrown him a dollar or a coin and kept moving, but instead, Bob stopped, looked at the person, and said, "Let's go." And he took the person to one of the eateries in Penn Central and sat with this person, bought him lunch, and had a conversation with him. He saw him. He saw this person listen to his story and talk to him. He treated this individual with a godly respect. I know not all of us will feel comfortable doing this, and that's okay. That's not what we're all called to do. But how about eye contact in the grocery store with another human being, especially as we wear masks? It's the only thing showing our eyes. A smile at a stranger. Showing God's love and care for others doesn't always mean opening your wallet, but it does always mean opening your heart. Paul tells Timothy in verse 11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith." Amen.